Indigenous Rights Radio, because knowledge is power.
Chief Bellegarde utilizes the press conference at the United Nations Permanent Forum on Indigenous Issues to bring light to the gap between Canada and its Indigenous peoples in regard to the United Nations Human Development Index and the rights of Indigenous peoples in Canada.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to share some thoughts. And for us as Indigenous peoples in Canada, we always say, you know, there's 634 First Nations communities. We represent about 1.4 million people that are there. And in our territory, we always talk about, as Indigenous peoples, we have over 58 different languages, our nations in Canada. And Canada is a rich country. It's rated, according to the United Nations Human Development Index, anywhere from 6 to 8 or 9 is high up. But when you apply the same indices to Indigenous peoples in Canada, we're 63rd. That's the gap that exists in Canada. And so everywhere I go, whether I be in Canada or in through United Nations forums, I try to utilize whatever mechanisms are there to devise strategies and to push Canada to respect inherent rights, Indigenous rights, to help close the gap. That's what it's all about. And I always tell people back home in the nation state called Canada, if you can't get your head around inherent rights or Aboriginal rights or treaty rights, get your head around the business case. There's a high socioeconomic cost to poverty, and this gap represents overcrowded housing. This gap represents thousands of children, Indigenous children in provincial care. This gap represents 93 communities with boil water advisories in Canada. This represents high disproportionate numbers of Indigenous peoples in jails. You know, and so this gap has to close. There's discriminatory funding when it comes to education on reserve, $6,500 per child on reserve. In the provincial school systems, it's almost $11,000. In the French school systems, it's almost $20,000. So there's all these things that need to be addressed. And when we start coming to the United Nations forums, we call on Canada to respect Indigenous rights. And we always point to the fact, even James Anaya, when he came out, the former rapporteur, he pointed out the relationship with the nation state and Indigenous peoples is unnecessarily adversarial. It's unnecessarily adversarial to the point where Canada spent $106 million on lawyers fighting and suppressing our rights as Indigenous peoples. And so things that we utilize, we always come, I come to the United Nations forums because Canada has signed on and is part of the UN Declaration of the Rights of Indigenous Peoples. And so we call on them to respect things that they're part of, so that they don't do anything to lessen our hurt, because Canada can be a shining example to the world if they embrace Indigenous people's rights. Because we always know, we say we have our own land, our own laws, our own languages, our own people, and our own identifiable forms of government, things that qualify for the inherent right to self-determination. And so right now, that's not really being totally respected. You know, we still have this gap that needs to be closed. We've suffered the cultural genocide via the residential school system in Canada. We're still suffering under the 1876 Indian Act, federal piece of legislation. And so we've got to move beyond those things now. And so my statement earlier on today, you know, and points out Canada will say something to the world, but back home they don't follow their own Supreme Court of Canada decision. And I pointed that out in the Tsilkotin case. You know, the Supreme Court of Canada recognizes Aboriginal rights and title. You know, so I'm saying they need to start following their own Supreme Court of Canada decision. They need to start respecting and not be afraid of free, prior, and informed consent, you know, because it's basically when we work together as Indigenous peoples and non-Indigenous peoples in nation-state governments, this gap that I talk about has to close. And it's only by really respecting each other's diversity, but respecting each other's rights as Indigenous peoples and non-Indigenous peoples, that we're going to work together to close this gap. So those are my comments this morning. And I made some statements earlier on as well in the forum as it relates to how Canada as a nation state deals with Indigenous rights, because there's an issue that we still have to deal with. And I always talk about assumed crown sovereignty, assumed crown jurisdiction. And even people are starting to look at this thing called the doctrine of discovery, you know, and as an illegal racist doctrine. And that's the premise where we've got to really start thinking and looking at as well between Indigenous peoples and nation states, because that's the premise and that we've got to look at challenging in a respectful way. Because in our territories, we always talk about peaceful coexistence and mutual respect between our peoples to mutually benefit and share the land and resource wealth from Mother Earth that has to give us. And so we got to close that gap, and we can only do that by working together.
For more information on this and other Indigenous issues, visit cs.org/rights.